Drive, guys, from the Golden One Center. We got Doug Christie coming up about 10 minutes. Also, the play-by-play voice of the Hawks, Bob Rathburn, joins us at 4 o'clock. And I'm embarrassed to ask.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask about, you know, I know last week we were trying to get Mitch and couldn't get him. How's everything going with Dominique?
Because I'll get Dominique. Don't worry about it. All I got to do is go down there and be like, Neek, I need you on the radio. He'll be like, all right.
Okay, all right.
Dominique, so come on, that's my guy, man.
All right,
come on, man.
Okay, all right.
My guy Jay's texting him right now, hopefully. Trust me, Dominique.
So that's a done deal, then.
As long as I see him,
okay,
he's going to be on.
All right.
As long as he's here in time.
We have that to look forward to as well. Question for you. Do you know who this guy is? I don't know who he is. I mean no disrespect. Matt Moore, Action Network, an NBA writer. I don't know who that is. Doesn't mean anything, but I was wondering if you do.
Whitey, are we really doing this? I'm going to let you, you know.
Do you know him?
No.
Okay, I don't either.
He's been around for a while, fellas.
Huh?
He's been around for a while.
Has he? I don't know this guy.
He was actually an SI prior.
He was with who?
He was with SI for a while, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I was about to say, because everybody and their mom got a web page now.
That's my point.
And everything.
That's my point.
I've never heard of him then.
Yeah.
Jay has heard of this guy.
Yeah. Here's what he says about the Kings. After missing out on OG and then Pascal Siakam, Kings will continue to look for a forward upgrade. I think we pretty much knew that. Jeremy Grant, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Herb Jones are among the names they're expected to explore options for, which is not a great sentence.
Okay.
If the Sixers decide to get spicy and need a third team to move Tobias Harris to,
I saw that.
The Kings could have interest. That's Matt Moore. What do you make of that? Anything?
Zero.
First time we've heard Herb
Zero.
Jones. Other than us going, man, it'd be nice if they had Herb Jones.
Zero chance they move Herb Jones. Zero, zilch, nada, zip. Nine, whatever you want to say.
I agree with you.
Zero. Herb Jones is arguably the heart and soul of that Pelicans team. And I know they made a cost-cutting move with Kara Lewis. They traded it. But Herb Jones is their best defender. Herb Jones,
yeah.
Remember we had our boy Antonio Daniels on, said Herb Jones was the best on-ball defender in the NBA.
I agree, 100%. 100%.
This is why I need February 8th to come and go, because guys just throw out names that just don't make sense.
Yes, but that's also why we have to act on behalf of the sports consumer and let people know, if you see this, hear this.
Okay, so we can – all right. All
yeah,
right?
Right?
All right, okay.
Yeah.
We're not discussing the merits of a Herb Jones trade. Hopefully we're not, because it's not going to happen. It's a pipe dream.
And what about Tobias Harris? Now, I've heard in the past that – Kings had interest in Tobias Harris, but I don't – if the Sixers decide to get spicy, need a third team – I don't think there's anything there either.
What is that? It's spicy and need a third team. You know, like, Tobias Harris is a critical part of what they have. They want to add to what they have, and I think Tobias would be a part of, you know, staying there. Then they add it. They could make moves without – getting rid of Tobias Harris. And then he says, spicy. What does that mean? Throw me some names. Say, oh, if they decide to go out there and trade for, I don't know, Zion, or, you know, give me some names. I hate the journalism this time of year. That's what frustrates me.
Gotcha.
Nothing against Matt Moore or anybody like that.
Right.
Guys just throw things out there, and then it gets aggregated, it gets talked about.
You have to be so careful.
It frustrates me, man.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to, you know, we're trying to help out fans, because fans are, you're so hungry for every shred of information, and some of it is just not worth your time. By the way, Tobias Harris he doesn't fit the timeline, and he's really expensive too, right?
$40 million
yeah.
He's making this year, Tobias.
All right.
I think his deal's up. After this season, though.
Okay.
And so, if you're Philly, well, never mind. I don't even want to.
All right, we'll leave that there for now.
I just get frustrated about it. No, nothing against you, Whitey. It's not about you. I'm inundated with
that's the point
trade
of the
names
yes.
and everything like
yes.
that. And it's like,
that's
man,
why I
what
asked
are we
you.
Doing?
That's
yeah.
why I asked you, because I don't know Matt Moore. Do you know Mark Stein?
The guy that wants playoff credentials, doesn't cover us all year long, and then wants a seat here at Golden One Center.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah. Guy didn't cover Sacramento all last year. We make the playoffs. He gets a credential. But, yeah, I've heard of him.
Oh, he got one. He didn't just want
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
he got one.
He got one.
Okay.
It frustrated.
Yeah. Here's what he says on his Substack piece, which you have to pay for. But we have this. Kings are another Western Conference contender like Dallas, known to be Kyle Kuzma fans. See, now just look at that. That's, are they interested? They're known to be fans. What? The Wizards, though, are under no real pressure to trade Kuzma in this transaction window, not with Kuzma in year one of a four-year, $90 million contract that pays out $25.6 million this season, but descends all the way to $19.4 million in year four. So, again, words matter. As Bob Myers once told me, words matter. And when you say the Kings are known to be Kuzma fans, what are you saying?
What are you saying?
Yeah.
Is it,
do they want him? Are they talking?
Right, right. Do they like watching him on League Pass? Like, what does that mean? That's why Doc Rivers called it the silly season.
Yes.
Because you get rumors, you get this kind of stuff. People are saying things without really saying anything.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
It's, right.
Guess what? I'm sure the Kings are fans of Victor Wembanyama. They like watching the young fella, you know, entertaining product. Fans of Jason
put
Tatum.
Put that on your Substack.
Right, yeah. Put that on your I might do that, you know. The Kings are fans of LeBron James. They like watching him on League Pass. Does that mean anything? No. And so I need February. And I don't know how fans do it. We do it because we got to talk about it. We got to follow it. But social media right now is just a cesspool of ESPN trade machine offers and everything like that. And
well, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say this. Some people like those. I can't stand them. Some people will, you know, they'll say, hey, I have a fictional trade for you. Wouldn't this work? Now, for me, it's like, I don't care what you think. But other people are like, oh, yeah, what do you got? So for some people, it's fun. But it's just really important, and that's why we try to do it here, to let people who care know, okay, this one you might have pay attention to. This one you probably don't need to
pay
attention
to. Okay, all right. I like that exercise right there.
Yeah.
We present when it is.
Yeah.
Yay, nay. It's not true. Kings fans, don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe or anything like that.
There's nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Now, what about the reports that the Lakers and Hawks have been talking about Murray, and supposedly they were talking about a first and a swap pick going from the Lakers to the Hawks, and D'Angelo Russell, which is like, well, that ain't going to get it done, right? And supposedly the Hawks say, well, we need a third team to take Russell. So to me, that sounds like that's nowhere close to
Close. I do believe the Lakers are trying to do something
like
that, but they don't have the assets outright to go out there and make a trade and get it to DeJounte Murray.
The Spurs got how many picks for him? Three?
Three, yeah.
So you think that a pick swap and a one is going to get it done? No.
And D'Angelo Russell, that's not going to. But that's why the Lakers need that third team. I don't think Sacramento's in that mix because unless we're getting Rui Hachimura, and I don't know if I give up a first for Rui.
They're fans of Rui,
right, from his Gonzaga days. And so I think the Lakers are a team that they're trying to get any and everybody. Any big name that's out there.
They're trying to shake it up like they did last year and get it rolling in the right direction.
Exactly. You got the Knicks reportedly involved in DeJounte Murray. And so if I'm Sacramento, and tell me why you're out on DeJounte now.
You got it. I like him as a player. I have nothing against him.
Okay.
I just know that one of the reasons the Hawks brought him in was because they wanted him to improve their defense. And he was, early in his career, I think he was second team all defense. Mm-hmm. But whether it's his fault or not, he's had virtually no impact on them defensively. Maybe that's not all his fault. But whoever the Kings get, I hope that they can improve them defensively. To me, that's at the top of my list. And DeJounte Murray wasn't able to do that in Atlanta. The other thing is I fear that you're going to end up with a situation like Halliburton Fox had where it's like, well, you can't both be point guards. So for those reasons, I would be out on Murray. Even though I think he's a terrific player, the fit makes me uncomfortable. I know you disagree.
Of course I disagree. Of course. Because when you look at DeJounte Murray, I think he's fourth in the league in deflections. And when you have a point guard like Trae Young who plays zero defense, I don't care who. If your point guard is a sieve, is a matador, look at Milwaukee and the hit that they took when Dame Lillard became their point guard. They were a top five defensive team a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're, 18, 19 or whatever it is. And so DeJounte Murray, he may not be a lockdown guy, But in terms of passing lanes, in terms of positioning, like, and from a fit perspective, De'Aaron Fox isn't like Trae Young. Trae Young dribbles the ball a lot. Trae Young has the ball in his hands a lot. The Kings, their point guard is actually Domantas Sabonis. So can he play alongside Domantas Sabonis? I think he can. And so I'm a big DeJounte Murray. Hey.
I'm a big fan of his.
We'll see him tonight, Whitey.
I know.
We'll see if he scores in the second half tonight.
Oh, he's going to put on a show tonight without Trae Young.
Without Trae?
Yeah.
He has back-to-back game winners, too, with under 2 seconds or left last couple of games that they won. Mm-hmm. And so, no, he is legit. I like this kid.
See now the doors that that I opened here. Raw, Real, and Uncut says, we need Herb Jones.
I know. See,
that's on me. That's on me.
You know who else needs Herb Jones? 29 other NBA teams.
It wouldn't be the Pelicans. Right. The team
and
is on.
Right. And the Pelicans themselves, like, zero chance, in my opinion, Herb Jones gets moved. He's one of their most valuable assets in New Orleans.
How do the Kings get this thing rolling the right way again? We'll find out from Kings legend,
DC.
Assistant coach Doug Christie joins us when we come right back to the Golden 1 Center. Drive guys on Sacktown Sport. We're seeing a lot of video tonight here this afternoon, I should say, at Golden 1 Center, honoring Mike Bibby. So I guess Mike's going to be honored in some form or fashion tonight.
Yeah, I think they celebrate 100 years of royalty tonight, their actual celebration. They had a season ticket holder event over the weekend. And so, yeah, it's a big night.
Big time shot maker.
Man, that dude Mike right Bibby. There. One of the nicest guys, too. You know, I've worked with a number of people on the pre- and post-game show. Kenny Thomas, Matt Barnes. They're all my guys. All nice.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what Mike Bibby did. He got us all a pair of Jordans for Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah, about a month before, they asked everybody your shoe size, and then we gave it, and Mike Bibby and them came through. Like, hey, Drapes, at the studio, there's a size 13 Jordans waiting for you.
Wow.
Think about it. That's Mike Bibby, dude.
Yeah.
You know, all Kenny Thomas gave me was a headache, you know? And so Mike Bibby at least gave me some Jordans.
That's very nice. Very nice. Well, his former teammate Doug Christie should be along any minute now. As we roll on here from the Golden 1 Center, obviously Doug is not going to talk about trade, so we might as well wrap up the thread on Kings' potential deals. We all know it appears important that they get something done, but just the teams that you're going to talk to, Kyle, probably would behoove them to wait until the deadline before they do anything.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, deadline, what, 3 weeks away or something like that, and you know, there's going to be some fireworks around the NBA, and I'm excited to see where guys go.
Nice stuff to join us now. Outstanding assistant coach with the Kings and, of course, all-time Kings legend, Doug Christie. Thanks for your time, Doug, especially on a game day. We are watching some Mike Bibby highlights here on the big board. I think they're going to honor Mike tonight. What do you remember most about that Game 5 against the Lakers, that clutch shot to beat them here at the, of course, Arco?
You know, more than anything, man, Mike, we just had a lot of fun on the court, man. He was a lot of fun, a lot of quirks and different things that I would laugh about. But, I saw him the other day, man, and got to give him a hug, man. You miss the ability to interact with people like that. And, he was one of my favorite teammates, but, very steady player, man. Not a lot rattled him in different things. And I just remember him when he knocked it down, that place just – it went crazy, man. It went crazy.
Big-time shot from Mike Bibby. Doug Christie joining us. Doug, you know, you got Mike Bibby. Mitch Richmond was in the building, you know, last week as well. What's the bond like between you guys, just that team, that 0-2 team especially, and something that, you know, here in Sacramento, obviously, we'll remember forever. What's that bond like when you guys get together?
It's a lot of love. It's almost like no time has passed, which is really weird, right? Because, you know, it's been a lot of years. But when I see him, I saw Webb. Was it Detroit?
Where Atlanta. We were? No, Atlanta. Was,
yeah,
Atlanta. Atlanta. Yeah. And I got a chance to talk to him and see his kids and just, you know, immediately you just start laughing, first of all, as soon as you see him. And then you start talking. It's always special. It doesn't matter if as much as I see Vlade more than I see others, I see Paige more than I see others, obviously, when Bobby was here. But it's always the same, man. It's just it's a good vibe, good spirit, just like no time has ever passed.
Doug Christie with us. We appreciate it, Doug. And you were, of course, an outstanding foul shooter. Have you ever seen a team go through a free throw shooting slump like the one that seems to be affecting the Kings right now?
You talking about Game 7 Western Conference Finals. What the hell is wrong with you guys? No. Yeah, man. It happens. I mean, it's almost like it's a little bit contagious sometimes. Like the other night, Sasha missed a free throw, and I'm sitting beside Davion, and I'm like, good Lord, man. Like, Sasha just missed a free throw. What is going on? But you go through it, and you keep working on your process. You shoot the free throws. You go to practice. You work on them. You shoot them. You make them in a row. All the things that you do, and there will be a time when the tides turn, you guys. It's just one of those things that we're going through. Do you want to go through it? Hell no. Does it feel good? No, it does not. But it happens. I mean, I don't know that Malik Monk has missed two free throws probably in his life. I was the same way. Like, I can remember the times I missed two free throws, and it's shocking, but it happens. And you just got to, like I said, get your practice, get in there, shoot it, and after a while, it'll change for us.
Doug Christie joining us. Doug, obviously the season is a marathon, not a sprint. We've hit some rough patches here as of late, four straight losses. How would you gauge the mood of the team, and what kind of messages are you guys giving them to keep their spirits up? I know they're professionals, but what kind of messages are you guys giving them?
I mean, I think really they need to send the message. The message needs to come from the players, from the standpoint of let's get back out on the floor. Because to be honest with you guys, like if you look at Milwaukee, like that was a game that we had. It was ours. So if you win that, it changes the spirit and momentum. Then you go to Phoenix, and that's, you know, that type of falling apart. You rarely see it, but it happens from time to time. Like, and now the narrative begins to change if you just handle little things. I really thought that at that Milwaukee game that we had begun to turn a corner. And then when we came out in the Phoenix game, I said, okay, you know, now you've taken what you did in Milwaukee and you begin to build on that. And that's really what we have to do. And I think Coach says it more than anyone about, you know, it being a marathon and understanding that one particular instance isn't going to define who we are as a team. What we need to do is consistently try to improve daily. And over the time, the byproduct of all of that work is the playoff team that we know that we are and can be. And then when we get put on the stage, we handle our business.
Doug, you mentioned Sasha a moment ago, and he's gotten a few more minutes in each of the last couple games. Seems to be responding. What's he doing to earn those additional minutes that he's been getting lately?
I mean, Sasha's just – he's steady. He comes, he puts his work in, he does all the things I think that Coach would love to see from him. I just think that some matchups and different things don't play towards certain players when he gets his minutes. I will say that he's been responsive and he's been ready to go. So I don't think it's any one thing that he's done, unless Coach obviously says something different to the media. But from my standpoint, Sasha comes and he puts his work in, and it, like, you'll get minutes, sometimes you won't. But the one thing about the NBA is all of that comes back around to you. It's happened to Davion a couple times where he was out of the rotation. He's working on his game. He's staying ready. All of a sudden, Coach calls his number. He's in the game, and he's impacted winning for us. So those guys, my hat goes off to them, because that is a tough position to be in sometimes when you don't know that you're going to get the exact amount of minutes, the exact time you're going to go in the game. It can be difficult, but being a professional and handling your business the way that they have is truly respectful.
Doug, what can you tell us about this Atlanta Hawks team tonight? No Trae Young, no DeAndre Hunter. What should we be looking out for tonight?
Well, I think you're going to get a big dose of Bogey. DeJounte Murray, baby boy, is going to come out. He's probably going to be very, very aggressive. You know, Clint Capella picking, rolling, lobbing at the rim. But I think they're going to probably look to get up and down the court. We faced this a few times. Like, if you take a team that has their best player and they are out of the lineup, you have to respect your opponent. And it's not necessarily always about who is in the game. It's the same with Tyrese the other night. It's like they didn't change their style. Tyrese is just a better version of what they put out there. But that style, respect it, play the right way. And that's, I think, what we're going to see from Atlanta. They're going to come out. You know, Patty Mills is a guy who probably doesn't get a lot of minutes, but you're going to see him. We know that he's red hot and he can knock down shots. Jalen Johnson, like, they have players. Now you just have to play the proper defense, respect your teammate, come out and do things. Very business-like approach is this. This is what tonight is about. You come out and you play the right way, and at the end of the night, you live with your result, and normally it's a win.
Doug, is this three-day mini break from any games, has it come at a good time? It's funny because we talk about a break, and Coach Brown will say, we don't have any break, we're practicing. I don't know how much you guys practice, but do you think the break, such as it is, did it come at a good time for you?
And you know, after a long road trip, I would say yes, but then we go right back out on a longer road trip. But it's in many ways, I think the season kind of has its own life to it, and we needed a little bit of that. But at the same time, with those, when you mentioned free throws, when you look at the end of the game in Phoenix, all of those are little things that we need to work on that sometimes you don't have the practice time to really get at them the way that you want to. And when you have a couple of days of practice, you can look at the video. You can sit down and go through some drills. You can blow the whistle and stop it and make sure that things are proper. So now it's just coming out with the right energy. And I would say more than anything, yeah, it probably was a really good time.
Doug Christie joining us, assistant coach of your Sacramento Kings. Doug, obviously a tough stretch the team is going through right now, but then you got this big, long road trip. We're at 41 games into the season. How would you assess where this team is right now based on expectations?
Well, I think that the expectations of the outside world aren't necessarily expectations of what we expect of ourselves, first and foremost. So those normally never match because we have super high expectations of ourselves. So from that standpoint, we haven't hit the bar the way that we would as far as winning and losing goes. But the attention to detail, the willingness, the coming to practice, the grinding, the doing all the things that we're going to need to do to be what we would consider an elite team at the end of the season when it's going to count the most, that is what I think that we're building towards. So not at any one point in the season can you judge all of that. And I think that that's what we see a lot, whether it's social media or the outside voices. And that's why a lot of times they don't match. And that's okay because people can have their opinions and think what they want. But these guys who come in here every day and they work, and the coaches that spend hours on these computers and trying to help their players, that's really what it's all about. And have we won every game? Have we lost some that we weren't supposed to? Have we won some that we weren't supposed to? You probably say, yeah. Should the record probably be better? We would like it to be. It is what it is, and now we have to deal with it. And hopefully all these lessons that we're learning along the way help us to start to bring the bar up to where we would like it to be.
Well, thanks very much, Doug. We appreciate it. Good luck tonight. We hope to talk to you again very soon.
You got it, man. Go Kings.
All right, man. See you, Doug.
Yeah, Doug Christie. I was going to ask him about guarding Dominique. I bet you he had to guard Dominique a time or two.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Why Dominique might have got him a couple times or two. Yeah, yeah. We'll ask Dominique about facing Doug Christie when he comes in here. Yeah.
You promise we're going to get him, right?
Dude, if he's in the building.
Apparently, we had contact with him.
Yes, exactly. So we got Dominique.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, when we come back, if we're not able to get to Dominique yet, we'll look at Debo. What's up with Debo? Is Debo going to play this week for the 49ers? It's a drive, guys, from the Golden One. What's the deal with Debo? If x-rays on his shoulder are negative, why is he 50-50 to play against the Lions this week? We've got that coming up here with the drive, guys, coming to you from the Golden One Center. Before we get to that, we just talked to Doug Christie. Of course, all guests brought to you by the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. What did you make, Kyla, some of the things Doug Christie had to say about everything ranging from Sasha to working on your free throws to what he needs to see from the team tonight?
No, I thought it was interesting. A couple of points that Doug made. One, the free throw shooting situation. It happens, you know? I mean, you go through slumps. You go through issues in certain areas. And, you know, him saying basically you got to trust the work. Get back in the gym, just keep working at it. No time to hang your head or anything like that.
Well, by the way, and I know we've talked about it, but it's really important to clarify, because I know some people said, they go, well, they're not working on their free throws.
Right.
I mean, that's just not the case.
Every practice they work on the free throws. That's part of the practice. It's just like they work on everything else, three-point shooting, free throws. It's all part of what they work on. And the fact also that he talked about expectations and how, you know, their expectations are higher than, you know, even those outside of the organization. And so, you know, we started off the season by talking about, you know, where Hollinger and all these guys predicted the Kings. I would imagine Sacramento, you know, in terms of their expectations, the team, the players, the people inside the organization, their expectations are to compete for a championship. And he admitted they've fallen short of where they want to be in terms of win total. But it is a marathon. You're only played 41 games this season so far. You still got half. Let's say you go, why couldn't you go 30-11, 25 and, you know, 16, which would put you at 48 wins? That's not out of the question for these Sacramento Kings. But they just got to turn around the momentum and start going the other way in a positive direction.
He said that he wants to see the Kings play the right way tonight. So that's the most important thing. Well, we don't know what it means to play Kings basketball right now, or at least I don't. What does it mean for this team to play the right way in your mind?
I think we've seen them play the right way. I would take a snapshot of the Phoenix game, not just the Milwaukee game. I think the Phoenix game, the first half, maybe 2.5 quarters, to me, that's the ideal way that they want to play. Offensively sharing the ball, 30 assists through three quarters, looking great. Defensively, they made the Phoenix Suns feel them. And when I say feel them, watch. Here's an exercise for fans tonight. Mike Brown also always talks about physicality, right? Watch our defender's chest. And if it's on the body of the offensive player, that's physicality. Now, if offensive players can freely move and we're reaching in, using our hands to defend, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being physical with the chest. And I remember it was during the Phoenix game. It was second quarter, and I was watching Kevin Huerter play. And he had his chest all up in Bradley Beal or Devin Booker. I forget who it was. Like, where it was impeding them from actually getting to their spots. Not with his hands, not with his arms, but with his chest and his feet. That's Kings basketball, how Mike Brown wants it to be anyway.
To that point, here's a rule of thumb you can use if you want to use this on your broadcast. This was a former NBA official. I told you, my buddy Bill Simmons. He told me this years ago. Shoulder to the chest. You know, sometimes, like, is it a charge, is it a block? Shoulder to the chest. Defense at its best.
Ooh.
You see that?
That's my pen. I need to write that down.
There you go. You see that, and they don't always call it that way, but a lot of times they do. You see that as a charge, a block, shoulder to the chest. Defense
at its best, right?
Baby. Yeah.
Get the hands back, get the chest out.
There you go.
And that's how Mike Brown wants these guys to defend, and that's Kings defense, Kings basketball. And so that's what Doug Christie wants to see tonight as well.
And I think playing basketball the right way, for all teams, but especially for this team right now, it means being selfless at both ends of the floor. We know selfless, we always say selfless on offense, share the ball. But there is nothing in basketball that is more selfless than playing good defense. Because you don't get, you know, a lot of accolades for that. You don't get accolades for, wow, good help.
Right.
You know?
That's not going to show up in the box for a white.
Right,
that's
it helps your freaking team win.
Exactly. And that's, I think that's what you see from championship teams, winning teams. And when you talk about being selfless, it's not just, like you said, making the extra pass.
That's a big part of it.
It's both ends of the floor, whatever it takes to help the team win.
Uh-huh.
Sacrifice your ego a little bit for the betterment of the team. And that's what we got to see.
Yep.
You know, one of the problems that I think the Kings have when you watch them play, and they're late in games, they get in tight situations. And this is just human nature. Guys tend to get in their one-on-one bag. Instead of trusting the system, trusting their teammates, things like that. I look at Fox. I look at Malik Monk.
I agree.
And some of our, you know, and it was the, you know, Allen Iverson, the great player. I used to love AI. But his problem, I felt, watching him, he thought the best way for his team to win is to score the basketball. Same thing late in games. Our guys sometimes think the best way for me, us, our team to win down the stretch is for me to make a basket.
Russ has been like that at times in his career.
Yeah, Russ has been like that as well. And it's not always like that. It's about making the right play when it's needed. It's not about going 1-on-3. And so that's Kings basketball too. Moving the ball, trusting your teammates.
Yeah.
We've seen it at times.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I've noticed that about De'Aaron too. And I think the most common way to look at that is, oh, that's selfish. But sometimes a player thinks, I want to win and I'm our best chance.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
Not selfish. It's like, well, we want to win, right? Well, I have to do it. And this offense is based on movement, ball movement, player movement, and there has to be more trust of your teammates, or there have to be better teammates, one or the other.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the hardest thing in basketball to do, because you want to do more. You want to help. You want to, you know, what can I do? You know, but really, it's trusting your teammates is the best thing. And so we'll see it tonight, man. This is a big game tonight against an Atlanta team. They've won 3 out of their last 4. Severely shorthanded, however, tonight. But we've seen shorthanded teams come out. You know, Doug mentioned Patty Mills. Patty Mills could be T.J. McConnell, part 2. If the Kings don't.
I wish you hadn't said that, but you're right.
I know. I'm just saying.
No.
You know, Patty Mills might hit 5 or 6 threes on you. And so you got to be locked in. And I thought one thing Doug mentioned that was spot on. You got to respect the system at which these teams play. Like, you look at the Pacers, sure, no Tyrese, missing some guys, but they had lesser versions, but they still played the same way. They still played hard. They still played fast. Atlanta's number 4 in the league in scoring at 120 points per game. Sure, they don't have Trey tonight, no DeAndre, but they're going to play their same style. It's not going to be a different style of basketball, so you got to respect the style.
Mm-hmm. This is a team that can be really fun to watch, the Hawks. But this stood out to me. They are in field goal percentage, they're 22nd. Mm. In field goal attempts, they're number 1.
They get them up.
And they don't make that many.
Right, they get them up.
So you should have opportunities tonight.
Yes.
If you can defend them.
Right. This should be a high-scoring kind of game, you know, a free-flowing Kings kind of basketball game tonight. And so I'm excited, man. I'm looking forward to it tonight.
Yeah, and this would be a significant win. They all are at this point.
Yeah.
No one's taking anything for granted.
A must win, if you will, because Doug mentioned the 7-game road trip. We broke down the schedule a little bit ago. Maybe they're favored in 1, if 2 games, maybe. It's going to be a tough road trip. So this would be a good way to jumpstart. I mentioned the reverse momentum. You know, they've lost 4 in a row. Why not go on a 4, 5, 6 game win streak starting tonight?
Good idea. Just make sure Patty Mills doesn't turn to T.J. McConnell. Man,
oh,
I wish you hadn't said that. Now I'm having like.
Right. You're like, oh, my gosh, it could happen, right?
Oh, when we come back, as promised. Yeah. Debo, the latest on Debo. Why is he only 50-50 to play this week? And does the NFL need to change the goofy rule that some say nearly ruined that playoff game last night? That's coming up as we return to the Golden 1 Center and Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
You never know what you might hear when listening to a Sacramento Kings game.
Out of Keegan, going for another triple. Man, is he feeling it. Keegan, can he do it? Yes, there's number 11, Keegan Murray. Keegan steps back. He just knocked down his 12th three-pointer, a Kings franchise record. He's got 45 points.
Never miss a moment of Sacramento Kings basketball with Sactown Sports and the San Francisco 49ers.
Sactown Sports.
Do you remember way back when Michael Jordan was ruling basketball?
Yep.
Ahmad Rashad was basically the Michael Jordan reporter.
Yep.
And wherever MJ went, Ahmad Rashad was there. Do you remember when LeBron, in this, I think it was his first go-round with the Cavs, Brian Windhorst was wherever LeBron was.
Yeah.
Well, we have that for Sasha. We have Emmy. Who's one of our finest and most reliable and trusted listeners, and she's got whatever's going on with Sasha. I think she knows before Sasha does, and thank you, Emmy, for pointing out here in the chat. Sasha listed as, I think it's questionable for tonight, turned his ankle.
Yeah, left ankle sprain, Sasha. in practice, I guess
yeah,
it was.
And, thank you.
Emmy, with the breaking news, huh?
Yes. On top of it, yes. Huh? I know I've been asking Doug Christie about Sasha, but that's the latest on Sasha. So thank you, Emmy. We appreciate that. We're going to have the voice of the Hawks coming up top of the hour. Bob Rathburn should be joining us. He's been the voice of the Hawks since like 1986.
Yeah. He's been around forever.
Yeah.
One of the best in the biz at that, too. I love Bob.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Draper has already today announced that he is becoming a 49er fan going forward. Is that what you said?
Nah, I'm going to wait till they get to the Super Bowl. I'm going to wait till they get to the Super Bowl because I need one more week of if they lose – I can come in and laugh. So I don't want to pledge my allegiance to the Niners and then they get waxed by Detroit. Then that would rob me of my the fun I would have if they lost.
Okay. Know? So I, when I they beat Detroit, you're hitching your wagon to them. So if by chance they lose the Super Bowl, you're going to be, oh, that's too bad. You're going to be with us?
No, I'd be like, you know what? I should have never hopped on with these guys.
I mean,
my boy Dan Campbell and company. Jay, you're killing me. Is that what we're doing back there, Jay? Everything I say, you're going to clip and save as receipts?
I hope so.
Well, we're just making sure that we support you as being part of this show. We support your team.
Man, I tell
you
right. The Niners had the least impressive win out of any team this weekend, man. They got it done, though.
How many teams won this weekend?
Oh, you have four winners.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not that many teams left playing. It's a good thing to win.
I know.
No matter how you win.
Oh, it's killing me. You know what's upsetting? Never mind. I mean,
go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead.
I follow a lot of local people on social media. And I tell you what, the amount of Niners fans after they win, like, my social media feed is littered with people at the game wearing red. And I was like, really? It's jarring for me. It hurts, to be honest with you.
How does it hurt?
Because these are like my guys and girls. Like, this is my guy Andrew used to work here for the Sacramento Kings, my golfing buddy. Never talked about the Niners before. They win. Oh, he's at the game, at the bars,
you're
or whatever.
You're accusing him of being a
fair
weather fan?
It's like, dude, you need to pledge your allegiances first before I decide to befriend you. You know, it's like being friends with a Warriors fan. They don't mention it. And then all of a sudden, game one of the playoffs, they wear Warriors gear. I need to know beforehand.
So you would have never been friends with him if you knew beforehand that he was a 49er fan.
I probably would have muted him this week after the win. But I'm telling you, you go on social media, on Instagram, and it's like, dang, you were at the game. I just forget that I'm in Niners Nation, and sometimes I get reminded
Empire.
Of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go to the grocery store. And it's like, oh, yeah, darn it.
They're just so immensely hot and popular.
Yeah.
If you know, everyone now has a podcast. If you want to do a podcast and you're wondering, what do I do a podcast on? Do it on the 49ers.
Yeah. They are. I mean, it is. They're a rock star team. They're the fans. It's you can't escape it around here. Like, seriously.
Why would you want to, though, is a good question.
No, because I'm an Eagles guy. Like, I'm in enemy territory, and my squad got bounced. It's hard to swallow. It's like a daily reminder that your team was trash.
Yeah. Didn't Coach Sirianni fire the defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see who they are interviewing? Ron Rivera.
Yes, I did see that.
Yes. Yeah, so we're looking for a defensive coordinator in Philly. I don't know if Ron Rivera is the answer.
That'll fix it.
Yeah.
Can you be objective here as we discuss Debo?
Yeah.
Debo, that was another thing that went wrong early. Debo leaving the game looked similar to the shoulder injury he sustained in Cleveland, which turned out to be a hairline fracture. X-rays now negative, which should be, all right, great. But he's still 50-50. What do you have any idea what's going on there? Where we are with
no,
Debo?
Shanahan says he's going to be okay. Like Debo told him, I'm okay, right? I mean, but this was the same injury that kept him out a couple of games earlier in the season. I got to imagine, though, knowing what's at stake, knowing Debo, the gamer that he is, like, because remember, he came back out onto the field and then they took him out again. I got to imagine he's going to try to give it a go. With that being said, I thought Juwan Jennings stepped up admirably.
Right.
In his absence. Like, yeah. I thought he had a hell of a game.
Yeah, it's just like when there was a play that apparently the offense was really going to rely a lot on Debo, and they had to switch things up, and they ran had a running play with Juwan Jennings that they shouldn't have run, but Shanahan said, yeah, there's a word we had to take out of the play call, which would have changed it to a pass,
right.
But Brock didn't do that, and so it ended up being a run with Jennings. He's like,
it ain't
he just shouldn't have done
it
that. Yeah, right. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So Debo is just that different type of player. I wonder if it's I think Coach Yak on Twitter suggested that maybe it's a AC joint. You'd think, look, it's not broken.
Right.
His legs are fine.
Right.
Hang on the ball. Let's go, Debo.
Yes, especially when you got two more games to play.
Yeah.
Two more games, and this one's obviously massive. Here's the question, though. Because all season long, I've been hearing from Niners fans, Jay included, the only thing that can derail the Niners are injuries. Can they overcome a Debo injury, you think?
Well, it would be tough, but they did.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was against a lesser. Now you're, you know, you got the number two seed or number three seed here in Detroit. Now this is a step up in competition, if you will.
Yeah, but perhaps balancing that out is the fact that the injury happened in game. Now, if you were without Debo this game or the next game, you would know ahead of time,
and could
presumably.
Plan
so you can, scheme around it a little bit. I think they can, but obviously, let's hope they don't have to.
Yeah, he's a big part. And to your point, it's not just the passing game. It's the running game, yards after the catch. I mean, Debo is one of the toughest guys out there. And, you know, I mentioned Juwan Jennings, you know, had a great game. I think he was targeted six times, caught five passes, filled in admirably. But it's not Debo.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like Doug said earlier. You know, it's the same system to an extent, but you got a lesser version of Tyree. Juwan Jennings is a lesser Debo. Like, he's not the same guy.
Yeah.
And so I think this is going to be a hell of a game. Like, I think the Lions – here's the thing about the Lions that I think is different than the Packers. The Packers were gamers. They were up for it. But I don't know if inside they really felt like –
They said they did.
They said it.
I don't know.
As the game went on, like, I believe the Niners, the Lions, they sort of remind me of the Ravens, not the Ray Lewis Ravens, after Ray Lewis, or the Jets, let's say, Bart Scott and the Jets, with Mark Sanchez at quarterback, let's say. Like, they believe they're going to come in and kick your butt because they take on the personality of their head coach, Dan Campbell. And so I think they'll use the – Everybody's counting us out. Everybody's, you know, picking the Niners. I think they'll use that to their motivation.
They barely beat the Rams. That was a heck of a game. They struggled with Tampa yesterday.
No, they got up on Tampa, and then Tampa came back, right?
Yeah, but it was a game until Mayfield's interception late. They were in that game. It's not like they blew Tampa Bay out. So their win wasn't such a quality win either. They won, and that's great. You advance, but it's not like they won 40-3 or anything. They've struggled the last 2 weeks, too. Now they're, for the first time this postseason, they're on the road.
They're going on the road.
They're off of the carpet. They're on the natural grass. They're done. Finished.
Hey,
they had a nice little year.
If the Niners struggle with the Packers,
to go home.
You can't say that the Lions don't have a chance. If the Niners almost lost to the Packers, you got to give the Niners a chance, right?
Yeah. It's been a nice year for the Lions. Now it's over. Party time's over. It's time to go to bed, kids. Coming up next, Bob Rathburn, voice of the Hawks. What are the Hawks going to look like without Trey tonight? We'll find out when we return to the Golden One Center. To Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.